by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be here.
In times like this where there are a lot of YouTube videos going around of giving people reasons to be afraid, I'm not going to name anything specifically, but there are, you know, a lot of clips floating around on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that that's giving people a lot of reason to fear. And people are wondering, can I go to the grocery store and be safe? Can I go to the bank and be safe in times like this? And so the topic comes up for self-defense, you know, and self-defense can take on a lot of different forms and spill over into other things like guns, you know, or things like that as related topics. But we know that the Bible calls us to consider others above ourselves and to turn our cheeks and things like that. But at the same time, is there a place for self-defense in the life of a Christian? Shane, what are your thoughts?
Wow, we could really unpack this one for a while and go through scripture. I mean, I know when I think of scripture, it does jump out to me when Jesus, you know, at one point said, you don't need a knapsack, which is a money bag. You don't need a sword. You don't need the, you know, just trust in me. But then he did say, grab a sword. You know, grab some self-defense there. And now people could say, well, it was good for cutting down things or animals, killing animals for food. You know, I don't know. But let's look at this. First, you know, it's probably the main issue is the Second Amendment on the right to bear arms. And if we believe that our country sought God, our founding fathers referenced the Bible four times more than any other source when they constructed the Constitution, the Bill of Rights and different things. And they looked to God for guidance, whether your view of them is good or not, it doesn't matter at this point. So a God-fearing nation was established and the right to bear arms. The reason they did that, obviously, is because that's how they were able to succeed from Great Britain and the British soldiers, because of they were bearing their own arms. So they always wanted the right to bear arms, the right to defend yourself. It's interesting because God is our defense, but sometimes God uses natural ways to defend ourselves. So I personally, it depends on the scenario. Now, if I'm out and about, and let's say one of these protesting movements comes at me, you know, I'm probably not going to, you know, exchange a left hook for if they hit me, or, you know, it'd be there to peace. We love you guys. Can we pray for you? And you're there, you're a peacemaker. And that's, you know, personal choice. Now, if somebody's coming, they're coming towards my vehicle where my kids are at. Now you just changed the game. Now this is a game changer, big time.
Because that's not self-defense anymore.
No.
That's protecting others.
Exactly. And we are called to protect the innocent and stand up for them. So I often say they created this environment, not me. The person who is attacking, they're creating an environment in which I have to respond to them. So, this is a broad statement where there are many different scenarios that could play out, and it's really hard to give a concrete answer that would affect everything. Somebody's trying to break in our house and they're deranged, and they break in, they could get a bullet to the head. You know, I know that sounds graphic maybe, but if in some Christian homes, that's going to happen if somebody breaks into their home. And again, it's not, maybe they'll shoot him in the foot and get him to repent first. I don't know. And you know, so let's say somebody breaks into your house and you can defend your house. I don't think we're supposed to say, okay, you know, here's your money, here's this. And, but then, you know, you do think of that cool scene. I don't know if you saw the movie Les Miserables, where the guy actually, the priest helped him and he stole all the silver and gold I don't remember if gold or what, but the policeman brought him back and he's like, the priest said, no, I gave it to him. And really that was a breaking point in that man's life. So there are scenarios where if somebody's, hey man, you're breaking my vehicle. Do you need help with some money? Or do you need, you know, so you have that heart of Christ. But Mama Bear you know, pops up, or Daddy Bear pops up when you're trying to harm people, your family. So that would be my thought. Is self-defense biblical? In one sense, I think it is. If somebody says, I am going to kill you, Shane, and they're coming at me at the pulpit, and I know God's called me to preach for the next 30 years, I might defend, you know, what God has given us. I don't think there's anything wrong with defending that, because he's trying to take your life so you can defend that life. But then there's other views, you know, mainly from the monastery, the monk, passive kind of view. And some people take that view primarily because they're cowards. They're wimpy cowards. I don't know how else to say it. So that's not biblical either. I don't think we're called to be pacifist doormats. But we're also not to go guns blazing, you know, like look at Martin Luther King Jr. accomplished so much through the right types of protests. And I think we can lay our lives down for others. I think, you know, if somebody, you know, if they're by themselves and they just want to lay their life down as a martyr, that's up to them. And there are other cases, you know, you're not going to defend yourself if you're being burned at the stake and try to fight your way out of it, knowing, okay, Lord, this is your will for me. I'm laying down my life, and you're okay with that. You know, you're content with that. But then you have Jesus even said, you know, flee to another city. If they're trying to persecute you and they're going to try to harm you, you need to flee. Isn't it interesting that Jesus fled when his hour was not yet here? They tried to kill him a few different times, and he would just vanish through the crowd, and he defended himself. So self-defense, I believe, can be very biblical. I believe the right to bear arms and the right to defend because your heart's right. See, if a person owns a gun and their heart is right, then they're there to be a terror to those who do evil. And I wish LA County or California, you know, if they would loosen up on their conceal and carry, and you start putting, you're probably going to need that pretty soon. More godly American citizens being armed that are trained. You know, that can really, you know, help in that area. I was in Idaho 5 years ago, and it's amazing. I pull over, and there's a guy with a 9mm on his, just strapped to his belt. And then someone else, you know, they've got their 30-06 or their 30mm Magnum, you know, rifle, like right there, just out showing their friend. Wow. Now the crime is really low where I was at. It is, you know, and look at Chicago, the highest, I think it's the highest murder rate, especially right now. And, but they've have all these gun restrictions. And so it goes back to the problem is never the gun. The problem is the heart of the individual. So getting rid of, let's say, assault rifles are, you know, the big thing with assault rifles, why they were, you know, real popular is you can have a 30 round clip, and that could do some damage. Those types of you know, bullets flying at whatever speed they fly, 30 of them, assault rifle, and they're really good at longer distance, you know, 50 yards, 100 yards out, you could, and so good for defense. But you know, and that's why they were popular, and then that's why they outlawed it down to limiting the clip, because it couldn't do as much damage. So here's the interesting thing. They're trying to prevent school shootings, which I'm a big fan of. We got to stop this. It wasn't even existent when I was growing up. But you got to let God back in your schools. You got, if you want to stop school shootings, you want to stop these mass shootings, then you got to get rid of these video games that are so violent. Kids are, what is that? Grand Theft Auto. You can have sex with the prostitute. You can set her on fire. And these other games I'm watching going, oh my Lord, that is terrible. I mean, you can blow off their heads. You can shoot. All these kids, our 12-year-olds are getting all. See, we're not addressing the problem. We are so stupid and ignorant as a nation that we are not even looking at the real solution. The solution isn't ban the guns. The solution is change the heart. That's the whole point. So I'm not for, banning firearms and giving in. I think people should have the right to defend themselves. I also think it should be more easily acceptable, you know, or more easily accessible. You know, if I could carry a 9mm around in my truck legally, and then, you know, but then you got to be careful, because now you've got the DA in many cases, and city councils and attorneys and judges are against. It's we are seeing a time like never before where we're calling good evil and evil good. For example, that couple that defended their house, I don't know if you saw that on TV with the AR, I don't know if it's AR, AK, because a protesting group knocked down their fence with the truck and said, we're going to kill you, burn down your house, whatever. And they defended their house, and now the DA was going to press charges on them. This is asinine. We've lost our mind. And I think it's a lot of times because the church is silent. Christians are silent. Nobody wants to say anything. They just want to just go with the flow. But I think we need to start seeking God and let this boldness rise up inside of us, because defending yourself is you're really defending the innocent. We self-defense is a rolls into abortion, right? You're defending the weak, defending those who cannot fight for themselves. If I see a black kid getting beat up, I'm going to defend him. If it's white people beating, I mean, who knows? I was called a bad word, some type of black person lover. I remember at the gas station, I still remember where it was. It was actually a gas station when it was on K and 10th Street West, because these two guys looked like they were drunk. They're harassing this black guy. And, I said, hey guys, that's not going to happen here. And back then I was, you know, big and strong, weightlifting and more. I could, you know, take myself, hold my ground back then.
Way more than both those guys. Probably.
Yeah. Yes. And I was looking for a fight because I was never racist, never had to deal with that issue. But my point was, I was helping to defend that person. So I think self-defense, depending on how you define it, is really the heart of God.
Sometimes it's others' defense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, others' defense and your own self-defense, depending on, you know, is it turning the other cheek and is it loving your enemy? And isn't it interesting that when Jesus was slapped, he didn't turn the other cheek? He confronted the man. Why have you slapped me? What evil have I done? He defended himself. You know, in that case. So I think it's just a very broad question that would, you know, it would require different scenarios to really answer it correctly. But I think self-defense and defending others is not only constitutional, it's also very biblical.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as the heart is right. Don't get me wrong.
Of course. Yeah. And it's not a bad segue into what I was thinking. I don't think about this topic a whole lot, but the times where I have been forced to think about it, I think I have approached it from the perspective of that's a little bit different than maybe most people would think about it. And I'm just going to run with that for a second. But, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And God says that, you know, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind.
True.
And I think that actually on the surface may not seem like it has that much relevance to this issue. But I think if you start really probing particular scenarios, you kind of see a common theme that revolves around self-control from the believer's perspective. And you know, we have a church that we're very blessed to have people of God in our fellowship that are active or retired law enforcement.
Yeah, true.
And we're very thankful for their stewardship and their influence in our church, because they have helped us to consider questions that perhaps we may not have considered before in being prepared for emergencies and things like that. But, you know, we talk about, you know, say, you know, you're in the grocery store or whatever, and the person, somebody comes in and they either have an agenda or they're out of their mind or whatever, but they're a threat for whatever reason or whatever the case may be, they're a threat. And so in the grocery store, you happen to be in there, but also other people happen to be in there too. And is this person a threat to just you, or are they a threat to everybody that's in the store? And you're in a position where you could stop it. You see them going for their weapon, or you see them make a move or something, and you're the first person that could stop it. You, in that particular situation, can be the arbiter of self-control, situational control, maybe to put it another way. And I think that because that person is a threat to the store, I think it's biblical that you defend life.
Yeah.
In that instance, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you got to kill the guy, but I think acting in a way that where you neutralize a threat, that may be that you just call them out. You make them aware of the fact that, hey, I see you. And that may be enough to stop them. So other people, maybe you got to put them on the ground. Maybe you got to do something to incapacitate them so that way they can't, you know, move in such a way, but that they're a threat anymore. But whatever it may be, I think there is a biblical precedence
underpinning.
To act in such a way that you neutralize a threat.
Go ahead. Are you done?
Well, I was going to say, but that's different from when it's just you.
Oh, it's true. Like somebody's messing with you or something.
Yeah. And one of the instances that I think back of fondly is I don't remember how long ago it was. I think I read about it probably around 5 years ago or something. I don't know if that's when it happened or if it was something before, but I remember John Piper made reference to this, this incident on his blog where these guys, Indonesia somewhere, some missionaries or something, they were evangelizing some headhunter tribe or something.
Oh, I remember that one.
Like that. And these three guys or whatever, they got cornered. It was obvious they weren't going to get out of it and they were armed, but they made the decision to not use their arms in their defense because they were not prepared to send those indigenous people to their judgment.
Wow. What happened to those people?
Well, they got killed. But a lot of people took, a lot of people
can
I know.
Can you shoot them in the foot and then give them the gospel?
I don't know. But
shoot a warning shot in the air. I'd shoot a warning shot in the air.
Well, but you know, and that's the thing is like in the heat of the moment, are we in a spot where we think about, could I incapacitate this person without it being lethal, you know, or something? But the point is though, but I remember
that
John,
was her choice, yeah.
John made reference to, Pastor Piper made reference to this from the standpoint of a lot of people took it as John Piper's against guns and that's not what he was trying
to say.
No,
not at all. I wouldn't take it that way either.
But he was saying that, am I willing to, he kind of used it from the standpoint of I'm standing in the gap. I'm being a covering for this person. I'm tolerating this person's sin, perhaps to the point of giving my life over for them as a demonstration of God's patience towards them so that they have another opportunity to hear the gospel down the road.
And that was their personal choice.
Yeah. But in that, it goes back to that was a fruit of self-control. The reason they died was not because they were out of control, was because they made a choice to say, I have a gun, I'm not going to use
They laid down their life.
Yeah.
Truly.
And every martyr that's come before that was burnt at the stake and stuff, they had a choice. They could have recanted.
Yeah. And I remember, a friend of mine, I actually haven't talked to in a long time, Justin Alfred. He was at Calvary Chapel a lot, taught down there at their seminary, and he's a black belt in karate. And I remember him talking about one time coming out late with church, and he's got his wife and kids, and he had to, rough up a few individuals, or they are going to rough them up. So, you know, I think we can just end on this note. You don't want to look for trouble. It's not our heart. But I don't think we should run from it either. And I've been able to quench a lot of fires here lately, especially in our area. We're in Los Angeles County, northern Los Angeles County, running into, you know, because of the racism issue. And I see black people, you know, guys that look like, you know, they're not very happy with me and say, hey, man, how's it going? Hey, hi. Or, you know, and you can be that change agent. You can give them that mean look like they give you or that scary look. Or I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? Oh, good. And so I'm just trying to be that peacemaker.
Yeah.
And so far, man, people that you thought were pretty tough, you know, and tatted up and they're just, you know, like they're saying hello back and, you know, if we're standing in line at the grocery store and like, man, it's tough times. Yeah, I know. Just trusting in God. And, you know, you can really create the atmosphere around you.
And that's key. I think with being self-control, I don't mean to cut you off, but I think that's it.
Yeah, you that's know, the key. You can control it.
Self-control is not necessarily putting somebody in an arm bar on the ground. Sometimes it might be if the dude's out of control, but you know, even just in the words, being very mindful of the words that you choose and the disposition that you bring to a situation, you can be the Holy Spirit's self-control mechanism in a situation.
So that's the key to end this with is if you can control that environment, change that environment for good, do it. But if that person is going to force the issue and it's one in which you feel compelled, then I think self-defense is, defending others and defending self is biblical.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged. If you have a topic or a question that you would like us to interact with on the podcast, let us know. Send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan and I am your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us again on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneEidelman.com. Again, that's ShaneEidelman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality and Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.